Well, good morning. Lovely to see you all and to hear you all. Thank you for joining us on this first Sunday after Trinity Sunday. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Blessed are you, sovereign God, creator of all. To you be glory and praise forever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, and in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us, let the light of your love always shine in our hearts, your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And our psalm today is Psalm 22, verses 19 to 28. And we begin by saying the refrain together. Be not far from me, O Lord, but you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. Be not far from me, O Lord. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honour him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfil my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. Be not far from me, O Lord. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Be not far from me, O Lord. Restless with grief and fear, the abandoned turn to you. In every hour of trial, good Lord, deliver us. O God most holy, God most strong, whose wisdom is the cross of Christ. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 1 to 9. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call upon my name, I said, "Here am I, here am I." All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, a people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of impure meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. See, it stands written before me, I will not keep silent, but will pay back in full. I will pay it back into their laps, both your sins and the sins of your ancestors, says the Lord. Because they burned sacrifices on the mountains and defied me on the hills, I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. This is what the Lord says. As when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes and people say, don't destroy it, there is still blessing in it. So will I do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The canticle is a song of David, and we say together, Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all. Blessed are you, God of Israel, for ever and ever. For yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all. In your hand are power and might. Yours it is to give power and strength to all. And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name. For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Those who were tending the pigs saw what had happened. They ran off and reported this to the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people in the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading this morning is one of those uncomfortable stories. We don't find it easy to think about people being demon-possessed. Actually, we know very little about the man whom Jesus healed. All we are given is a before and after story, and it's really quite a contrast. It's worth holding the end of the story in mind as we unpack it this morning. Imagine it. This man has been ostracized by his community. He is quite literally living on the edge. He doesn't live in a house, and he hasn't for years. Instead, he haunts the graveyard, living among the tombs. And that's because he's haunted in his mind. He is terrified, and he's terrifying. Naked, troubled, and uncontainable. He doesn't even have a name. He is to be avoided at all costs. He is to be feared. He is without hope until he meets Jesus. But let's begin at the beginning. For the first time in his ministry, Jesus has crossed over Lake Galilee with his disciples into what was predominantly Gentile territory. Up until now, Gentiles have come to Jesus. But this is, according to Luke, Jesus's first venture into Gentile country, and it will be his last. Everything about this story points to the fact that the context is a Gentile one. The man is troubled by unclean spirits. The man lives among the tombs. Being with the dead made Jews ritually unclean, as did having anything to do with pigs. And as we have just read, there were plenty of those around. In this story, Jesus' mission took on a new meaning, stepping into and offering salvation to a Gentile world. The first person Jesus met as he stepped onto land by the lake was this troubled and haunted man. The man approached Jesus, not to welcome him or to ask for his help, but to send him away. The demons within him are strong. They are powerful. They are stronger than the chains and shackles that are used in an attempt to contain him. This man is feral and wild. He cannot be contained. He cannot be calmed. He breaks every chain and is driven to the desert. The voices inside his head know of Jesus' power, and the man cannot bear any further torment. He wants Jesus to go. But Jesus doesn't. He stays, and he asks the man a question. "What is your name? What is your name?" This man has no name. He is nameless. To give him a name is to begin to restore the man's humanity, his identity. "What is your name?" Jesus knows us by name, each one of us. And he asks us, "What is your name?" In other words, he asks us, Who are you? Who are you really? Who is the real you? The naked you? The you no one else sees? Who is the troubled you? The you you used to be before that significant thing happened, before you lost hope, before you were let down, disappointed and afraid. What is your name? I think it's a tender, gentle question, but it's deeply, deeply searching. If Jesus asked me that question, would I name myself honestly and deeply? Would I allow him to search the depths of my soul and find me? What is your name? Of course, when the man answered Jesus, he said legion. The word legion comes from the Latin, which describes a military unit of some 5,600 men. In other words, this man has been troubled by many, many things, too many to number. He is overwhelmed and assaulted on every level. However we choose to think about these demons or to explain them to a modern 21st century audience, we know that whatever has troubled and haunted this man has taken away his sanity, his identity, and his dignity, and it has kept him away from his community. He's out of control, and he's heading for destruction. This man is in a terrible state. But it's not the end of the story. When this man, possessed by unclean spirits, sees Jesus, he falls down before him. When the people from the town run to find out what's been going on, they find the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The man had been uncontrollable, but now he's sitting at Jesus' feet. He had been naked, but now he's clothed. He had been haunted and demented, but now he's in his right mind. What a picture. I can see it in my imagination. Salvation and rescue lie at the feet of Jesus. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. The beauty of thy peace. And what about the townspeople? What about them? You would think that they would be delighted to see this man had been healed. But no, they don't celebrate. There is no sense of amazement or joy or welcome. Instead, they beg Jesus to go away. I wonder why. Perhaps they realized somewhere deep within them they had seen something powerful of God, something divine, something miraculous and oh, so wonderful. The offer of salvation, transformation and good news is just too much, far, far too much. Perhaps they saw that love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my love, my all, was just too much to give. And if you can't respond to such love, then it's easier to reject it. The healed man asks to go with Jesus, but Jesus tells him to stay where he is. The picture of the man sitting at Jesus' feet is of a disciple, a learner. And now Jesus is telling him to be a missionary to his own people, to the people who feared and shunned him. I wonder how that went. And isn't it just the way of the topsy-turvy kingdom of God to use the broken and the least to teach the good news? And the man went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. What a story. a story of life restored in all its fullness. Amen.
Thank you, Steph. Shall we now pray together? Let us pray for the church and for the world, and let us give thanks to God for his goodness. Lord, receive our prayer
and hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant it the peace and unity of your kingdom. Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. Eternal God, in whose perfect realm no sword is drawn but the sword of righteousness, and no strength known but the strength of love, so guide and inspire the work of those who seek your kingdom, that all your people of every colour, race, class and creed may find their security in that love which casts out fear, and in the fellowship of Christ our Saviour. Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and for those who care for them. Today we pray especially for Jacques, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Eileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Stephen, Dave, Jackie, Mary, and Herbert. Be close, we pray, to all who suffer. Bring them hope and bring them healing in the name of Christ our Saviour. Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. We remember with thanksgiving those whom we love but see no longer. Especially we give thanks today for the lives of Maurice Taylor, Mike Bassano, Alison Mallett, Angela Burrows, Leonard Reed. We pray for their families and friends and all who mourn. Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. And the collect for the first Sunday after Trinity. O God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because, through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments we may please both you in will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The love of God, draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus, strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord fill our hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. We will be back next week at the same time, 9:15, for a 9:30 start. And I look forward to seeing you there or at some other place. If you happen to be coming near Cirencester, you can come and be a bit of light relief from the clergy conference anyway. We'll be back, hopefully with lots of good new ideas, so be watch out. Have a really good week, and God bless you all, and thank you for your company. Bye-bye everyone. Bye-bye. See somebody at the coffee morning. I don't know that I'll be there, but Dawn will be doing it, so do join Dawn and John for company. Bye-bye.